how to get your blog to show up on Google and how long it actually takes. Today I am so excited because I am sharing the exact steps to get your blog posts to actually show up on the first page of Google and get traffic to your website. And also I'm sharing precisely how long it takes to get there. So have you been wondering how to get your blog to appear on the search listings when you go into Google and you type something in and the blog posts that appear? Would you like your blog post to be one of those? And it is very, very possible, and it is quite simple to show up on Google. If you are new to blogging, or if you've been blogging for a while, you are going to find out exactly what it takes to get your blog to show up on Google search today. My name is Kath Kyle and I lead the Hustle Less, Manifest More movement. I help creators and change makers manifest a massive audience and transform millions of lives by creating a magnetic movement using my proven dream business framework. And today I have a fantastic free gift for you, which is my ultimate guide to starting a magnetic movement. And in this guide, I reveal how you too can build a tribe of millions with an online movement. Starting a movement is a fantastic way to rapidly catapult your business into the limelight, and in this free guide I walk you through exactly how to do it. I also have a full video training walking you through the entire guide, and also an audio download in case you want to learn how to do it on the move. So I have got you covered. And if you want to get that, you can go to kathkyle.com/movement guide. So I have a get to know you question of the day. So my get to know you question is, are you into seeing signs from the universe? Like, for example, do you like to look out for angel numbers, or do you have your own special sign that you have allocated as a sign from the universe? And when you see this special thing, like, for example, seeing feathers or peacocks or a special kind of dog or whatever it is, and when you see that sign, you know that the universe is speaking to you. I'm just curious, do you have one of those special signs? Because I listen to a lot of podcasts and I love manifestation, and almost all of the podcasts that I listen to, they talk about, you know, seeing these special signs everywhere. And I think it's really fun. But however, I don't actually do it myself because I am just not a very observant kind of person. Like, I do notice things when it comes to business. I'm always thinking about business, but the kind of things that you would notice, signs, like in everyday life, those are the kind of things that I just wouldn't tend to notice. Like if I'm walking down the street and say if my husband is the complete opposite from me, he will notice everything. Like he will say, oh, did you know that man who just walked past us? And I'll say, man? What man? I didn't even notice a man. So that's like the difference between me and him. I'm just not an observant person. I'm more of a, like, how I feel. Like I notice beautiful things. I notice creation, but I don't notice like individual details. Like I wouldn't be able to tell you that there was like trees on that side of the lake and grass on that side. I just know that I see like, I'm the same with like faces as well. I see like an overall picture of something and my mind just gets like an overall snapshot of something. And I just like to feel good, but my brain doesn't kind of zone in on like one particular thing. So I just don't tend to notice these kind of things. Like when I first got into manifestation, I felt like a total failure because I was I think I read these books and they tell you to do things like do easy things where you know that God is speaking to you, that God cares about you. So you're going to notice like a purple car today. And I would set myself these little supposedly easy tests for the universe and for God. And I wouldn't notice any of them. I didn't see any purple cars. I didn't notice any. My brain totally forgot about purple cars. It just wasn't interested in purple cars. And so I just didn't see any. And then I just thought, does that mean that God doesn't care about me? Does that mean that the universe, you know, these easy things that are supposed to be easy and I'm just not seeing any of these signs? Does that mean that I can't do manifestation, that I'm a total failure when it comes to manifesting? Maybe I should just give up on the big things because I can't even get the little things to show up in my life. And I just, you know, over the years, I just realized that that's just my personality. We don't all have to fit into the same mold. We don't always have to notice the same kind of things. You just have to recognize what you're like and then do the kind of things that make you happy. If you get pleasure from noticing purple cars, then by all means, notice the purple cars and feel happy about that. But I don't, you know, it means nothing to me. I know that, you know, I'm part of the universe and that everything is one and I'm part of that. And I don't need to see a special sign to know that. I know it's sometimes good to have a reminder. And that's why I sometimes like to do things like do angel cards just to remind myself, because it snaps you back into the present moment. But apart from that, I just don't do these signs. So that's, you probably never say never, because things can change, people can change, but you probably will never see me doing an episode on like angel numbers or signs for manifestation and that kind of thing. And that is why. So let me know how you feel about signs. Do you have a special sign? Send me a DM on Instagram at Kath Kyle Official and let me know. I'm very, very curious. So 10 steps to get your blog to show up on Google. So today I am sharing 10 very important steps to get your blog to show up on Google. And as you will soon discover, there is a lot more to this process than first meets the eye. So what is the first step? The first step is to decide on your blog topic. And if you've ever tried to plan content, you will know that it can be very overwhelming to decide what to write a blog post about, because it's an investment of time. And if you are new to this, you might feel like you don't want to get it wrong and you don't want to wait, because it can actually take quite a while to rank your blog post on Google. And I'm going to share more about the details of that later on. But that doesn't mean it's not worthwhile. Sometimes the things that you have to wait the longest for are the most worthwhile things, because getting traffic from blog posts is a passive thing that you don't have to put any more effort in, and it just keeps on rewarding you. So it is well worth doing, even though it takes a while. So yes, it takes a while, and that's why it can be overwhelming, because you don't see the evidence for quite a while. So let's try and get you successful when you first start, so you don't need to wait a really long time to figure out that you might not have done it in the way that means you're going to actually show up on Google. So here's how to make it easy to decide what your blog topic should be about. So you should always create blog posts that lead people to want to buy your paid products. So your blog posts should almost always be on the subject of your products. That's a good rule of thumb. You don't have to follow that all the time, but it just makes sense. If you've got a product, you want people to buy your product. So if you're not posting the same topic as your product, then why would people be interested in buying your product? If you don't have a product, there are still actually ways that you can make money through blogging, which is very exciting. You can have banner ads on your website, and I do this on my other websites, and I have and still do make a lot of money from having other people's ads on my blogs. And you can still sell your products at the same time. So you can have banner ads on, you can do affiliate marketing to promote other people's products. So even if you don't have a product, I still say, think about the overall theme of your website. What niche are you in? Think about the audience. What kind of content are they going to be interested in seeing from you? So for example, if you are selling a green smoothie meal plan, your blog posts should all be around, or most of them should be around, the result that people want to get. So why are people drinking green smoothies in the first place? They want to lose weight, or they want more help around green smoothies because they're new to green smoothies. So post blog posts about the result or about the tool that they are using to get the result, which happens to be green smoothies in this example. So you can also delve deeper into that particular tool. So for example, you could focus deeper on the ingredients used to make green smoothies. And you can also broaden out your content a bit by focusing on broad topics that the audience would like to see from you. So maybe they'd like to see an occasional day in the life from you, or what you eat in a day kind of blog post that brings a bit of your own personality to your content. And these kind of posts, even though they're not directly related to your product, they can really help you to build an audience because it brings your personality into your posts and makes your content bingeable, because people love a good story. They want to know what happens next. So if you're sharing even small snippets of your story, of your personality in your blog posts, that is going to be really valuable. Number two, where to get ideas for blog topics. So once you are clear on your topic for your blog post, you will still want to get some inspiration for different ideas to blog about. So I suggest you search for some of the keywords related to your topic in either Google, YouTube, Pinterest, and podcasts. And I suggest you find some people who are already posting exclusively about your topics and see what they are creating content about. And the reason for this is because if you are creating an audience, you want to find somebody who already has the audience that you want to attract. You want to look at their content and see what's popular already with their audience, because that's a very good indication to you that that content is going to be popular on your channel as well. You don't need to reinvent the wheel when it comes to your own content. That doesn't mean that you copy somebody's content, but that you use their content for an idea as to what content to create on your own blog post. So even though you don't find blog posts on YouTube, YouTube makes it really easy to search videos by popularity and see which is the most popular video by channel. So you can find somebody who has the audience that you want on YouTube, and then you can sort by most popular on their YouTube channel, and you can see what went viral at the top. And you can use these topics as inspiration for creating your own content. And just a side note that videos don't always translate well into blog posts, but it gives you a really good indication and it gives you some great ideas what kind of content you can post. Step number three is to choose your main keywords for your blog. So back in the olden days of blogging, you used to have to select an exact keyword for each blog post to rank highly on Google for that individual keyword. Like, for example, say if you wanted to create a blog post about a green smoothie, you could only create your blog post around green smoothie if you posted a blog post that had the title "A smoothie that happens to be green." Because the words green and smoothie were not together in this, in this keyword phrase, Google wouldn't know that this was the same thing, that it meant the same thing. However, times have changed, and I've noticed people still keep on teaching it the old-fashioned way, but it's not like that anymore, because Google has got more sophisticated. Not entirely sophisticated with everything, so you do still have to be careful, but it means that now Google can group certain keywords together and understand that they actually do mean the same thing. So these days, it's not as important to choose an exact keyword phrase, but it's more important to choose a topic for your blog post. And I still like to choose a set of keywords for each blog post. And I understand that this keyword also fits into a different group of keywords, a different keyword phrase. For example, if you type into Google, how to make a weight loss shake, you will see results for weight loss smoothies appear in the search listings, and you'll also see results for protein shakes, because Google understands that a smoothie and a shake and a protein shake are very similar to a weight loss shake. Google also understands user intent when it comes to search keywords. For example, if you are searching for a weight loss shake, what you really want is a meal drink that will help you lose weight. You don't really care whether it's a smoothie or a shake. Google understands your intent and it gives you the best of the blog posts that will give you the result that you want, even if it's not specifically what you have asked for. So although you will be choosing keywords for your blog post, understand the intent behind the people that type in this keyword and do some brainstorming around similar words that could also mean the same thing so that you use the words that people are most likely going to be using. You have to tell Google what the topic of your blog post is. Otherwise, Google won't know when to show your content. So choosing your topic is crucial to showing up in Google. Step number four, choose a topic for your blog post that people are actually searching for. So this step is absolutely crucial. You have to choose a topic for your blog post that people are actually searching for. If you write blog posts based on topics that nobody wants to know about, Google will not ever be able to show your blog post as it won't relate to anyone's search. For example, say if I posted a blog post that was titled Catherine Kyle's Favorite Smoothie. Who is searching for Catherine Kyle's favorite smoothie? Probably nobody. I would say maybe one person, maybe if I had a friend who really desperately wanted to know. Nobody is searching for that. Google would still do its best and it would bring up a list of my blog posts and that had the word favorite and smoothie in it, so you might still find it. But really, is anybody actually going to search for that? No, they're not going to search for that. So you have to find something that people are actually searching for. So how do you know if people are searching for the topic that you want to write about? So here's what you do, and this works most of the time. But did you know that the number of searches is increasing rapidly every single day? There is always new searches that come on board. So if you feel really strongly that you need to write a blog post, but you can't find any evidence that people are actually searching for it, I would still say go ahead and write it. Just don't do that with every single blog post because it's more of a risky strategy. So here is exactly what you do. You go onto Google and you type the main keyword that relates to your blog post. Don't type in the full phrase. Start typing it and see if Google auto-completes it. So Google brings up a drop-down list and it has the full word. So say, for example, you start typing in green space SMO. That's enough that Google will bring up a drop-down list and it will auto-populate that word to green smoothie because it's got a good idea of what you are searching for. So if it auto-completes your keyword phrase, there is a good chance that people are actually searching for your phrase. It's probably very, very likely, 100% likely, because Google wouldn't waste its time auto-completing a word if nobody was actually searching for it. If Google doesn't auto-complete your keyword phrase, there is a good chance that not very many people are searching for your phrase. So some people might still find your blog post, but it's probably not going to really take off and get a lot of visitors. And just a side note here, there are many expensive keyword tools out there that charge like, say, $100 a month for use of the keyword tools. And I have tried a lot of them. And there are some benefits of these, but I personally don't use any of them. I don't subscribe to anything that costs me money. Because what happens when you use these tools is that what most people do is they find the keywords with the highest potential search volume and they create blog posts around that topic. So say, for example, you type in the word green smoothies and say, for example, it has it's showing that it's got 30,000 searches a month, which it has been proven these are not accurate, by the way, but it still gives you a good indication that it's probably quite popular. So you know that the word green smoothies has 30,000 visits per month. It has 30,000 searches per month. And you think, great, that is a very popular keyword. So I am going to write a blog post all around green smoothies. And maybe you create a blog post that says something like the best green smoothies or my favorite green smoothie or green, the worst thing would be green smoothie recipe, for example, green smoothie recipe. And what you are doing is you are competing with every single other person who also thought it was a good idea to target that keyword, green smoothie. And there is millions of blog posts all targeting the word green smoothie. So you are not being unique in any way, and the competition is very, very high. And the another problem is that people, you have to think about the user intent. Because how many people would actually just type in the word green smoothie? Maybe if they didn't know what a green smoothie was, they might just type in green smoothie. But then they find out, oh, I know what a green smoothie is now. Here's images of a green smoothie. So now I'm going to go back and I'm going to search again. I'm going to search for how to lose weight with green smoothies, which is much more of a useful search term. So if you are just targeting a very broad keyword phrase like green smoothies, you're probably not going to be attracting the right kind of audience to you, because that audience probably doesn't even know what you are posting about. You want to make your keyword phrase a little bit longer and a little bit more targeted, and preferably include some kind of results or some kind of something useful that people would actually want to know about green smoothies, like, for example, how to make a green smoothie, or how to make a delicious green smoothie, a green smoothie that doesn't taste bad. These are more useful, very specific phrases that you will probably want to create your blog post about. So another problem with just using these keyword tools and targeting the most popular keyword phrases is that you aren't using your intuition as to what posts are going to be popular in your niche. And you are competing with most other people when it comes to the topic of all of your blog posts. But did you know that there are so many search phrases that do auto-populate in Google, but if you search for those same keywords in a keyword tool, they would tell you that this particular keyword phrase would get you zero searches. And I can tell you from my experience that that is simply not true. I often create blog posts around topics that the tools tell me get zero searches, and they end up getting thousands of searches per month, because I get thousands of visits per month to my blog posts when I have targeted these keyword phrases that the tools are telling me are no good. So my rule of thumb when it comes to choosing topics is, number one, is it relevant to my paid product? Number two, does my perfect audience really need to know this to get results? Number three, am I interested and excited about the topic? And number four, does Google auto-populate the keyword or the keyword phrase that I want to use? And if the answer to all of these questions is yes, then I do write the post. Step number five, scan the marketplace for contributors. When I'm new to a niche, I like to have a good look at some of the most popular blog posts that come up when I type in a keyword phrase, so that you have an idea of the quality of the blog posts that are already out there in your niche and who some of the most popular bloggers are. But one thing to notice is the word count in the posts that are coming up top. However long the blog posts are that are coming up on the first page of Google, this is a standard to either match or beat when it comes to your own blog posts. I think it's a great idea to be aware of the other contributors in the marketplace so that you know what's already out there and what Google thinks is the best content in your niche, so that you know the standard that you're aiming for. And I have heard people say that you should research the top 5 blog posts for each topic that you write about and try and create something better. And I used to do this and think it's very helpful when you are new to a niche, but I don't do this anymore. And there are several reasons why I don't look at what's already ranking for the topic that I want to write about. And I don't suggest you do this for every single blog post either, especially when you've been blogging for a while. And here are the reasons. When you read somebody else's blog post just before you write your own blog posts, your post is too heavily influenced by their content. Your blog post would end up just being a copycat version of their content, which is not helpful to anyone. When you sit down to write a post, but you fill your mind with someone else's ideas, you are not allowing intuition to flow into your words. You are not starting with a blank slate, but you're trying to make sure you don't forget all of the points that someone else wrote about. And when you are comparing yourself to someone else, you turn your business into a battle. And you'll never feel good about being compared to what's already out there. Coming from a place of wanting to help someone with your own unique message is a much nicer energy to base your business on and will help you be much more successful in the long run. If you sit down with the attitude of creating the best piece of content that you could possibly create, you'll do a much better job than taking the attitude of trying to write a slightly longer post than someone else. And I don't believe in competition when it comes to business and content creation. I personally believe that there are enough people in the world that need to be helped and many different ways to reach them. When you create a blog post, you end up ranking for hundreds of different keywords that you haven't even thought of. And therefore, you are not in competition for one single keyword phrase when your audience is typing in many different variations of that phrase and finding different blog posts as a result. Step number 6 is to write a catchy title. It can be really hard to think of a good title, but this is the most important thing that you can do to get people to click on your blog post when it comes up in the search listings. If nobody clicks on your post, Google will stop ranking it on the first page, so it is critical that you get people to click over to your content. The most important thing with a title on Google is to keep the length of the title under around 60 characters. Anything longer than that and it probably won't be displayed in the search results. Anything longer than 60 characters. But it's fine to create a longer title, but just keep the most important parts to the first 60 characters so that that will actually come up. The best type of headlines appeal to your perfect audience and highlight the value that they are going to get by reading your blog post. So I recommend writing at least 20 different titles and picking the best one. Unless you have a lot of practice, it can take a while to get into the habit of writing good titles. So how do you write a blog post title? I recommend using a title template, which will make things so much easier for you. I always use templates for my titles and it saves me so much time knowing that I'm already using something that has been tried and tested many times over. There are so many different headline titles that you can use and I have hundreds of templates that I share inside my Dream Business Movement program, but I just wanted to share 10 of the best with you now. So here are some of the best headline title templates that you can use when creating your blog post. Why X does X. For example, why successful entrepreneurs are using Pinterest to grow their audience. X best X for X. 5 best blenders for green smoothie lovers. So you replace the word best with other words such as easiest or fastest. Why you should X. Why you should avoid social media if you want to build a big audience. X most X lessons I learned by X. 10 most impactful lessons I learned by growing my online business. X ways to X. 35 ways to market your business online. X mistakes you are making with X. 5 mistakes you are making with your blog posts. The ultimate guide to X. The ultimate guide to green smoothies. X versus X, which is the best? Smoothies versus shakes, which is better for weight loss? How to X without X? How to create a 100K product without hiring a team? How I did X with X? How I lost 56 pounds with the green smoothie diet? Step number 7 is to write a helpful, comprehensive post on the topic. So one of the biggest mistakes that I see people making is writing blog posts that are too short. Most of the top ranking blog posts are at least 2,000 words long. So that is an average standard to write at least this amount of words per blog post if you want to stand a chance of ranking on the first page of Google. However, I don't recommend continuing to check your word count as you type. I recommend that you simply put everything into your blog posts that someone is going to need to help them get results. Your blog post needs to be as long as it needs to be for someone to get what they came for. You want people to be totally satisfied that whatever they search for has been met with your post. The only exception to this rule is if you are creating a summary, high-level blog post which shows someone an overview of all of the steps needed to create a bigger project. And in that case, a summary is expected and also welcomed because people who are new to the topic will need to know the basics involved in each step before they decide whether to commit to getting more involved with the process. So once you have outlined all of the steps in an overview, you can then create one blog post per point and delve more into the details needed to get the result, providing people are actually searching for this level of detail, of course. Then you can link the overview post to the more detailed post and you'll create a very helpful resource for people. So before you started listening to this content, I actually created this content as a blog post. So this blog post exists as a standalone piece of content. And this blog post is actually 4,604 words long. So you can see that I have actually doubled the average blog post word count that I recommended because I just wrote until I had written enough, until I felt like I had created a very good, helpful resource. And this blog post is actually a summary blog post. I am giving a summary of everything that you need to do to rank on Google. However, I could go into a lot more detail in each point, and I do go into a lot more detail in my course, but these basics will give you a good starting point. And in the future, I probably will expand on these points in blog posts, but only if I see that this particular blog post is successful. If it's not successful, there's no point in expanding on it. But if it's very successful, then I want to lead people further down the path of my blog post. So why do we need to make a comprehensive blog post just to show up on the first page? How does Google know whether this post is a good one or not? Why not just create a good title and the best title wins? Well, this is why. Google knows if your blog post is good because someone stays on your post for a decent length of time. This could be like more than 1 minute. Google knows this. Google knows how long somebody has stayed on your blog post. And Google knows this because they know when somebody has clicked the back button and got back on the search results again. So that's not what you want. You don't want people to click the back button and start reading other posts in the search results because that will indicate to Google that they haven't got the results that they wanted from your blog post and they've had to go back and find someone else's blog post. So that's exactly why you need to create a good, thorough resource, or at least a resource that links somewhere else that takes people on a journey so they don't click the back button and think, oh, no good, that didn't give me what I wanted, let's try something else. Soon after you publish your blog post, Google will start doing tests on that post by putting it on the front page of Google for a small number of people. So when people say, I'm going to teach you how to get onto the first page of Google, what they don't realize is that everybody gets onto the first page of Google, but they get there for a very, very short period of time. I mean, I say everyone gets onto the first page as long as Google knows what your topic is about and as long as people are actually searching for it, they will put your blog post within the first few months of you publishing it, they will put it on the first page of Google, but only for a small amount of people, because they are doing tests on your content to see if it's better than what's already there. And then Google pays attention and notices how people behaves around your blog post. If your blog post is being clicked on and people are not hitting the back button and they're not going to somebody else's post, then that is a success in Google's eyes, and it will continue to show your blog post to more people as long as they're clicking on your post rather than what's already out there. So you want to create a blog post that is back button proof. And that might mean that whatever questions someone has after reading your post, you have a link at the bottom of your post linking to further blog posts that answer those questions. And that is creating the ultimate resource for people that truly helps them. Step number 8, make your blog post easy to read. So one of the best ways to encourage someone to read your blog post is to format it in a way that makes it easy to read. And that means that you have a lot of white space so people can easily scan the page. So break up big paragraphs by hitting enter after 1 to 2 sentences so you don't scare anybody with big walls of text. Having headlines, lists, images, videos, and links throughout your content also makes it easier to read. But you have to make sure your website looks good on a mobile phone, considering most of the people reading your post will be reading it on a mobile phone, on a cell phone. So make sure all elements work on a phone too. Step number 9, make your blog post engaging. One of the best ways to make your blog post engaging is to get personal with your writing. So talk about your own experiences and tell short stories within your content. That way you'll come across as relatable and trustworthy, which will encourage people to keep reading. I recently created a blog post explaining how to go viral online. So I highly suggest reading that post because it will show you exactly how to make your content engaging. And that content is called How to Go Viral Online and Reach Millions with Your Message. And if you click the blog post surrounding this content piece, there is a link to that content within that one in step number 9. Step number 10 is to share your blog post online and link back to it. So one of the ways that Google decides whether to rank blog posts is whether or not they have any links pointing to that content from other sources, and also the traffic that your blog post is getting from other sources. So many years ago, one of the biggest ranking factors was the number and the quality of the backlinks pointing towards a piece of content. And while this does have some weight today, this is not one of the biggest ranking factors, which is why I've included this point at the end. Some people still think that getting backlinks back to your content is the most important factor involved in ranking content. And that's why if you've had an established blog for a while, you'll get constant emails from people asking you if you'll link to their content within your blog post. But what these people don't realize is it's not as big of a deal as they think it is, because they are wasting their time putting so much of their energy into getting backlinks. The sad thing is that Google can actually tell if you've got unnatural links pointing to your website. So that's why you don't want to try and cheat the system when it comes to ranking your blog posts. The quality of your blog posts are the highest determining factor when it comes to ranking content on a particular topic, and quality will win out in the end. I have ranked many of my websites highly in Google, and I have never created any unnatural backlinks back to my website with any of them. So I'm just sharing what I generally do, which results in links back to my blog post. Try and do as many of the following list as you can, which will all result in natural links back to your blog post, and create different additional ways for people to find your blog posts other than Google. So here are some of the ways that you can create natural links. You can share your blog post on Pinterest, on Facebook, LinkedIn, or any other social media you use that allows links. You can email your list with a link to your blog post. You can create a video on the topic of your blog post and link back to your blog post in your YouTube description box. You can create a podcast on the topic of your blog post and link back to your blog post in the podcast description box. You can find at least 5 previous blog posts that you've published yourself and link from those blog posts to the new post. You could create a roundup summary post and link from that content to your new blog post. You could create a guest post on someone else's site and link back to your blog post. You could share your blog post in your community, your forum, or your Facebook group. You could run paid ads straight to your blog post. Step number 10 is to check Google Analytics to see where your traffic is coming from. So after you've had your blog post published for a few months, check Google Analytics to see where your traffic is coming. In your Google Analytics to see where your traffic is coming from, click on Acquisition, All Traffic, Source, / Medium. So the burning question that a lot of people might be wondering, how long does it actually take to rank your blog post on Google and start showing up on the first page of Google? So here is an answer, but I'm going to explain a bit more into the process now. So it can take anywhere between 1 to 24 months to rank your blog post on Google. So yes, that's a massive big difference. I have noticed some of my latest blog posts in kathkyle.com ranking within 1 month on the first page of Google, which is absolutely fantastic. However, my website is a little older, and when your website is a little older, it shows signs of authority, and Google likes to see authority when it comes to websites. So the longer you have your blog, the faster you can rank your newest blog posts. However, that doesn't mean that you can't rank a new website fast, because it definitely can be done. I have looked back to the start of my most recent blog, kathkyle.com, to look in detail about the traffic that I was getting from Google each month. Although it is possible to tell which keywords you are ranking for each month, I don't usually look at the individual keywords that I'm ranking for, because each blog post ranks for hundreds of different keywords. For example, my most popular post on kathkyle.com ranks for over 1,000 different keywords, so I couldn't possibly track all of those. Well, I can track them, but I just don't have the time or the inclination to do so. And they are all at different ranks, ranging from 5 keywords that are ranking in position number 1, all the way down to 2 keywords that are ranking in position 97. So that's why I look at the actual traffic that I'm getting to my website, because this is more important than the keywords that I'm ranking for. Also, if you're ranking for something and nobody actually clicks on it, there's no point in ranking for it. So you have to actually look at the traffic. So on my blog, kathkyle.com, I thought it would be good to use this as an example of how long it takes to get traffic, because I get a large amount of my traffic from Google. Over 70% of the following figures will reflect that the most of the traffic is coming from Google. So I am going to share a brief summary with you, but most of this is in the blog post. So I'm not going to go over every single month, but I'll just highlight a few of the months. So I started publishing blog posts in January 2020. So at first, Google was giving these blog posts small numbers of impressions because they were testing my blog posts. They were getting data. So the first month, I was noticing between 1 to 30 visits to my new blog posts from Google. So that's the kind of traffic that you can expect with a new blog post. That is completely normal. And these numbers grew gradually each month. And then 5 months later, 2 of my blog posts were looking like they started to get a bit of traction, getting around 100 page views per month. By month 6, I had 7 blog posts around the 100 page view mark, and one of them had taken off and was starting to rank highly, getting over 500 page views per month. By month 7, that same popular blog post was now getting over 1,000 page views, and there wasn't much change with the other posts. By month 8, I had around 9 blog posts that were getting well over 100 page views per month, and my most popular blog post had around 1,700 page views. by month 10, I had over 14 blog posts that were getting over 100 page views per month, and my most popular blog post had over 4,000 page views. And that dropped a little bit as time went on. By month 12, so 1 year later, I had 23 blog posts that were getting over 100 page views per month. I had some that were getting over 200, 300, and even another blog post that was getting over 600 page views. By month 18, so 1.5 years later, I had 36 blog posts that had over 100 page views. I had one page view that had over 200 page views. I had three blog posts that had over 300 page views, one blog post that had over 400, two blog posts that had over 500 page views, one blog post that had over 700, one blog post that had over 1,000, and one blog post that had over 3,000 page views. So my traffic grew from 252 page views in January 2020 to 15,069 page views per month 18 months later. So I, just to let you know how often I published, I have published between 1 to 2 blog posts per week. So usually between 4 and 8 blog posts per month. At the start, I was publishing about 2 per week, and lately I have dropped down to just 1 per week. So now that you know how to get your blog to show up on Google, would you like to know how to grow a tribe of millions with your message? And the best way to do this is by creating a magnetic movement, because this totally puts your business on the map. This is exactly what I have used myself to reach multiple millions in my business by creating movements. And I'm now revealing these secrets to my method in my brand new masterclass. So I am walking you through the exact steps for coming up with an idea for your movement that will make your business unforgettable and make your message go viral. This masterclass is called Moving Millions, and it's part of my Dream Business Movement program, but for a limited time, I'm giving you free access to it. So you can get that by going to kathkyle.com/millions. And now it's your turn to go and put your stamp on the world.